CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. Friday already. I don't know what's going on. I feel like we just started the week yesterday, and all of a sudden it's Friday. Kind of makes me a little nervous. I've forgotten something, or you know how it goes. Anyway. Maybe I'm muttering to myself because I'm old and ridiculous.
Well, that's the thing, as you get older. And they did a test once. I watched it on YouTube.
Yes, then it must be true.
Yes. Yeah. Where they pulled an older man off of the street and a younger person, put them next to each other, told them to close their eyes and for them to count a minute in their heads without any other thing around them. And the older person every time was slower.
Slower, but then time for them is slower. That doesn't make sense. When you're 5, you just want to be 7. When you're 7, you want to be 14. When you're 14, you want to be 21. And then suddenly, somewhere around, I don't know, 30, maybe 35, you're like, nah, now I'd like it to kind of just, this is good.
I'll stay here.
And then 40, maybe you still feel that way. And then someone said to me, it's around 50, maybe even 55, that you start going, oh, my God. All right, no, quickly, turn the clock back. It's terrible.
Yeah, because...
Hey, Ben.
It's because you're dying.
Yeah.
And this the real first kick of it, like, gosh, this I'm decaying. I'm, like, browning around the edges. It's just not going well. Things don't work.
Browning around the edges.
I already feel like that.
If you were on a shelf, you would have been thrown into the back a while ago.
The best before date's gone.
Yeah, your best before date's gone.
Oh, my God.
So you got to work out. Probably 35 is your best before date.
Yeah, I reckon.
I mean, I know 40 is the new 20 or whatever should people try to do to sell magazines, but no, 35 is your best before date.
Yeah, you can actually feel it in your body, you know. You can lie to yourself about what age you are, but you can feel it.
Well, I mean, I see these people who are just incredible, who do a million things in a week. I felt like I was a bit of a Superman yesterday because I came in here and did a whole lot of stuff in the morning. Then I had a meeting at 4 o'clock. I managed to get gym in before that. I went to Bevan Cullinan?
Mm-hmm.
Bevan Cullinan had a gallery. Had a gallery showing yesterday. He's painting again, and he's actually a fantastically talented artist.
I didn't know that.
He's just a fantastically talented guy, though.
He really is.
Yeah.
And his paintings are superb. Like, I was genuinely thinking of buying one, and I might still.
What is he? What's his subject matter?
Well, he's got a lot of very abstract sort of modern art with lots of color in it, almost square and just about square canvases, and then he paints lines and shapes and forms, and it's all in various colors, and there are color groupings. It's very good. The one that I was interested in is called Sunset. And then he's got an obsession with skulls, which I also do. And he's got a whole series of skulls, and he's called them Common People, because all the paintings are based on the album by Pulp. She came from Greece, she had a thirst for knowledge.
Smart.
She studied sculpture at St. Martin's College. That's where I caught her eye. Do you remember that song?
Yes, I do.
She told me that her dad was loaded. And I said, in that case, I'll just have a Coca-Cola. She said, fine.
Yeah, yeah.
And in 30 seconds time, she said, I want to live like common people.
Yeah.
I want to do whatever common people do. Want to sleep with common people. Want to sleep with common people like you. So the whole series is called Pulp Series. And then he did this, I think it's probably about 4x4. So it's 16 different little canvases with skulls on them. And they're all different. But it's just interesting. He's at there's this little gallery. Let me give the name to you in case you want to go and pop by. Why the hell not, right?
Sure.
And why not promote a guy who's doing really interesting work? NB Art and Framing. NB Art and Framing is on Hillcrest Avenue in Blairgowrie, if you want to go and have a look. Right?
Very good.
Very good. I tell you something. So that was fun. And I had a really interesting meeting at 4 o'clock with a guy who we met in London last year when Sia and I went over there to do that kind of British-South African trade podcast series, which we did, a guy called Sam Tidswell Norrish. And he does, among other things, he has his own podcast, and he interviewed me for that. And he is also a very, very keen investor in South Africa. He's been having some interesting meetings while he's been over here.
That's a very interesting sentence to strap onto someone in 2019.
And isn't it an interesting thing to say about somebody right now, considering what the economy's like, considering what's going on, considering all the things that we're annoyed with? So I tapped into his brain for a little bit and found out why he would be enthusiastic about South Africa right now. And he had some interesting answers, which I'm happy over the course of the next couple of days to share with you. But I'd also like to promote this podcast of his when it comes out so you can hear what I said to him. So you know I'm not speaking with forked tongue.
It's the worst of the tongues.
That's the worst. So, weekend. It's not a long one, I'm sorry.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I know. But there's another long one coming up. So let's do a quick forecast because I still don't know where Easter is. Does anyone have the whole plan
it's
for April?
Next month, Gareth.
All right.
Yes, but which weekend,
yes,
Ben?
Yes, but which weekend, Ben?
Well, okay. Yes. I don't know, guys.
Yes, but which weekend?
Neither do we.
Sheepers, ask the big questions here. Expect the most. And our Wi-Fi is broken, so how am I ever going to
Google
this?
So it's not just me.
No, it should be working. It should be working.
Yeah, so that's just South Africa.
No, it's not. No, you can't blame the country for our Wi-Fi not working here.
Well, I'm sure it's a symptom, Gareth. I'm sure it is.
Ben's one of those people.
You just proved it.
Ben's one of those people when the light bulb blows in the street outside. That's typical of the government. This fucking
country's
government.
Country's gone to shit. I'm going to Australia.
God. It's just unacceptable.
Well,
tell you what, it's the DA. We voted for you, and look what you've done. That street light's been out for a whole day.
No, I didn't virtue signal by knocking the DA.
Oh, you know what is broken is my fridge.
Oh, what happened? That's very bad, because then things start to stink.
No, it's just...
Tell me.
It's so noisy. I think I made a... I made a recording
Jesus.
Of it.
It's because you drop things, Leanne.
What have you got, dropsy? What's going on over there?
So the steel fan is hitting ice.
Luckily, whenever Leanne drops anything, it falls into her cleavage.
My marshmallows.
And then she's able to retrieve it with minimum damage. She's never broken anything in her life because it always falls there and lands softly. And there's plenty of room. What's going on? What are you trying to do?
I'm trying to play a sound clip.
Oh.
These are noise.
Yes.
So I'm walking into the kitchen. I don't know if you can hear anything.
Is this like your reality TV show?
At the fridge.
Oh.
I'm opening the freezer.
Jesus, it sounds like a meat grinder.
Jesus, do you have like entire cows hanging by a hook in your meat fridge?
I hope you turned it off because that's going to explode.
That
well, that's
industrial.
What my brother said. I said to him, stop being so dramatic. It's a metal fan hitting some ice.
Why?
He's like called people to fix it immediately.
Yeah, that doesn't sound healthy.
Does that sentence not scare you? A metal fan hitting ice?
Well, funnily enough, I can't stand a spider on my curtain, but I'm not afraid of a metal fan hitting
well,
ice.
The spider's gone now. Even the spider knows this place is about to go up in
So my uncle came to fetch the spider, right?
Oh, yeah.
And
oh, yes, please, because we didn't have resolution. You were going home. You said
I was closing up home, and I saw...
You were ready to move.
A rain spider on the curtain near my shoulder, which was too close. And... At 11:30 at night, messaged the family emergency group and said, please help me.
Yes.
No one responded until the next morning. Uncle Neil eventually came.
Thank God for Uncle Neil.
And I thought, by now, this thing's probably gone somewhere. How are we going to find it? I have to move if I can't find it. So he starts on said curtain. And I can hear him ruffling it around. And he's going, I'm looking. It all seems fine. And opens up the curtain and says... No, this curtain is clear. This curtain I have looked at is clear. So I walk into the lounge. He's holding the curtain in front of him.
Oh.
And it's on there, right by his stomach.
He didn't see it?
The size of my hand.
Oh, I'm like, Jesus.
Look at your stomach, I said. And then he saw it. But, yes,
but he's not afraid, so he got it out. And did he have to kill it?
I'm sorry to offend anybody, but...
No, if I can kill them.
The spider died in vain.
Kill them.
Sorry. I don't want them breeding in my garden.
Completely.
They're uninvited guests.
I totally agree, Leanne.
Thank you.
Feel nothing. Kill that guy. What's he doing? He's terrorizing you for what? You might catch one fly a year. He's, do that with a tablecloth.
I don't even think they'd do that.
Exactly. It's all hype. Kill spiders.
Thank you, Ben. Feel much better.
Oh, my God.
Next time I'm going to put it in the deep freeze next to the fan.
And the word will spread that you're the deep freeze woman with the fan. Spiders will run for the hills.
Any plans for the weekend? What are you two up to? Oh, by the way, if you're wondering where Sia is, he is posted...
fixing the Wi-Fi.
It's not Sia's job to fix the Wi-Fi, Ben.
Okay, and, do you know how to then?
I'll help you with the Wi-Fi, Ben. Give me 2 seconds. Sia's in Durban at the moment. You know, his family are from Durban. That's where Sia lives.
Yes.
And Sia very much likes to check in with his family every now and then, even though all he does on the show really is say embarrassing things about them.
Endlessly, and how they always fight and how he's always over them.
Yeah.
It's great.
But he's in Durban spending time with his family, so God help them.
I'm going to a music concert tomorrow.
What kind? Who is it?
Yeah, joyous.
What kind of music concert? Is it classical music?
No, it's got the likes of the Pilot Ones.
Oh, the Pilot Ones, very good.
Okay,
where is this?
Matthew Mole.
Do you have to go to Brakpan for this?
Rubber Duck.
Yes.
No, it's at Casalinga, which is on the wedding stretch.
Restaurant.
And it's all for animals, which is really nice.
Even better.
Three animal charity. It's called the Love Paws Concert.
Oh, that's nice.
How lovely.
Yeah, there's Ard Matthews.
We like him.
I'm trying to think who else. But yes, I'm going to that. I haven't been to a music concert in a long time.
That's great, Leanne. And how much wine is there?
Well, I have VIP tickets, so there should be lots of wine.
Barrels.
Yes.
Barrels and barrels of wine. Yeah. Just out of interest, did anyone go to Ed Sheeran? I know a lot of people did. I saw my Instagram was flooded with people who were at Ed Sheeran, but I didn't go. I mean, you really have to pry me loose of my house to get me to go to a concert these days, especially at a big stadium. And I know this was at FNB, right?
Not sure.
Well, it was the first one post everyone getting either sexually harassed or mugged.
What?
Well, the
global citizen,
thing.
Horrible.
Mm. Where every security person took Cyril home and then neglected everyone else.
That's true. That's
so
what happened.
It was really big, and from what I heard, it all went swimmingly, actually, this time.
Oh.
Because private security was called in.
All right.
And they did a good job, so well done.
Well, that's very nice of them. Hmm. Okay, excellent. But you have to pull in private security. All right, so have you ever tried this thing? And I'm going to try this with Ben and Leanne now. If you go and you try to click on the Wi-Fi, and there's someone who already has the password, they can share it with you?
No.
Oh, yeah.
I shared mine with Leanne, but it doesn't matter because the Wi-Fi is actually down.
No, so. It's working. I've got it in front of me, and it's working absolutely fine. So
my computer just shut down because of a problem.
Jesus, what's going on with everybody this morning?
I don't know.
Maybe it is good that it's Friday. Everybody can get their shit together over the weekend. Hey, listen, if you're looking forward to winter, you're one of those people, then I'm sorry, I can't sympathize with you, and I'm not your friend. But I do understand that there are a lot of people who are big on winter. They just absolutely can't get enough of it. Ben was saying that after he went to Dahlstrom the other day, you know, where you have fireplaces and you're cozy indoors and you make yourself a mug of soup or that stuff is romantic and lovely. I get that.
Yeah.
But the rest, having to wear so much stuff, are you insane?
And it's great when you go away because you're aware of the idyllic place that has a fireplace. You get home, you don't have a fireplace.
No.
It's like, screw this, winter.
No, sure.
Yesterday was probably my last swim in the pool.
Oh, yeah?
It was
cold.
This is the stuff I wanted to get into.
It was so cold.
Those last things that you try to squeeze in before the summer's over. Like, I haven't been to the sea. I know this is really spoilt.
Yeah, but it's full of plastic nowadays, Gareth. You're not running anything.
But it is nice. I do like to go at least once a year to go to the coast and get into the water. It to me, it's therapeutic, and it's, you know, it's great. I like it. And I haven't done that in a year, and I don't feel hard done by because of it, but I do feel like I've missed something. I kind of felt like I needed to do that, so I don't know if I'm going to get that in before the winter creeps over. I think I'm stuck.
Yeah, it's kind of a nice feeling when you do feel a little bit chilly for a change, and you can put on something long and warm.
You like that? Alcoholic pants?
Yeah.
You know which ones I'm talking about.
The yoga pants that you don't do yoga in.
Sure, and people with like horrendous bodily odors. You know, it's winter's the time. Like, it's the thing.
Yeah, because they don't sweat and they don't
stink.
You don't have to smell them. And
I mean, it's something for everyone, really.
Yeah.
But like there is those last things you try to do, as you say, so tomorrow I'm playing golf and I know it's the last of the lush and all that kind of stuff. And then the trees go brown, which is nice for a couple of weeks because you've got the contrast of the green and the brown. And then it's all just yellow. Dead.
Well, there we are. By the way, I wrote an article yesterday, which you may or may not want to look up. I'm just going to mention it anyway. And for those people who are interested, go ahead. It was just basically about how we've been. I got a report from the South African Apple Podcasts page. You know, Apple rank all the podcasts and all the rest. Send me an email to say we've been in the top 10 consistently for almost the entire 5 years, because, you know, we're turning 5 in May, so it's not quite 5 years yet, but we've been in that top 10 every week without exception since we started doing this show. So we
are, amazing.
I think we're locally, it's not too much to say that in South Africa we are by a long stretch the biggest podcast. And when I say we're in the top 10 every single week, sometimes it's 3 episodes of this show that are in the top 10 every week. Sometimes it's 5 episodes of this show that are in the top 10. So we kind of, we crowd the others out in some way. And I suppose maybe it's because we do so much, but they're popular. They get a lot of downloads. And I took a screenshot just yesterday, and there we are with Oprah Winfrey, Joe Rogan, then 2 episodes of the Gareth Cliff Show, and one other, I think it's Joel Osteen, who's like a motivational speaker type from America. Mm-hmm. So it's really this show in the top 5 and 3 huge Americans, massive, massive Americans who've got...
Now, Oprah's quite big, I think.
Oprah's a big deal. She's big. I'd just like to point out, not because I wanted to boast about how well this show's doing, although I did, because I think that it's because our listeners have made us.
Yeah.
It's not me. It's because you listen to this that it's big. If I were doing this... And it was just me sitting in my garage at home, and you know, there were 3 people listening, it wouldn't be an issue. We wouldn't be able to talk about it at all. And there are lots of people who do podcasts. There are people who have 4 or 5 listeners. But the fact that we're in there is just, it makes me feel really good. It makes me feel like it's worth coming in here every day. And there are days where I don't feel like it, sure. But mostly, I absolutely fucking love doing this show. And it's great to talk with and to an audience that gets it. I don't have to talk down or try to explain obvious stuff to this audience. You know, when we were on radio, you kind of take these things for granted when you've been doing it 5 years.
Yeah.
So anyway, the point I wanted to make was Oprah Winfrey of the Oprah Winfrey Show
and
Mother of the New Earth Church is the Antichrist. No, that's not what I wanted to say. Oprah Winfrey is probably the most powerful media person ever. Or she's certainly in the top 1 or 2, right?
Yeah.
Sure.
She's right up there. Now, when we started podcasting 5 years ago, there were stupid advertising agency people in South Africa who have been doing the same stupid thing for the last 20 years and have never changed their model. They do the same thing even now as we speak. Some of them have been humble enough to admit they were wrong. But when we started this and I said, podcasting, this is what we're going to do, they said to me, oh, please. Podcasting is for people who can't do broadcasting, which was ridiculous because we'd done broadcasting before.
Decades of it.
And then, lo and behold, the most powerful woman in media, in all of human history, the most powerful woman in media, she starts doing podcasts. Now suddenly they all can't get enough. I do want to point out we were doing this before Oprah Winfrey.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't the first people in the world to do it, but in South Africa, we made it mainstream. And I'm very, very happy to say that there are so many people who listen to podcasts now, not just ours, but everybody's. There's a ton of stuff online that you can get that is great.
Yeah.
And it is so much better than anything that came before.
Where is your article?
It is on cliffcentral.com. You can go and read it there. There's an audio version because, well, we're a podcaster. So if you wanted to listen to it rather than... read it. You know, some people don't have time to read, let's be honest.
Are it under Gareth's blog?
That are correct.
Ah.
Yeah, they're there. But I've put links on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook, so you can go and follow there as well. Anyway, that's what you need to know today. Hey, are data costs killing you? Well, your future is lit with a game changer from Telkom. Yes. Become a Cliff Central listener, series binger, a playlist connoisseur, or the ultimate movie buff. You can access movie services, TV series, games, music, YouTube, and now even Cliff Central podcasts without using your data. How? Well, get to cliffcentral.com for a step-to-step guide on how you can get lit with Telkom. That's right. They've got these nice packages, which are very good.
You've got a nice package.
Thanks very much. That's very nice.
Those are quite tight jeans.
All right. So, the weekend, this weekend I've actually just cleared it out. I mean, I have a dinner with a couple of people this evening and that is it. The rest of the time, I think I might just try to enjoy a bit of summer. You know, it's still nice outside.
Yeah, during the day, the sun still doth shine.
Yes. Yeah.
Actually, it's going to be 31 degrees today in Joburg.
Oh.
38 in parts of Mpumalanga, so we're still on fire.
Okay, not bad.
Yeah.
All right, there we
go. But it's like right now, morning, so cold.
Yes. It is a politics-free Friday, aren't you lucky? That's really cool.
Yes.
So we'll get into a couple of the news stories that are not to do with politics later on. If you can't get enough politics and you're going to be depressed if we don't do any of it, listen to yesterday's Burning Platform, which Canthan Pillay appeared on. Maybe you're interested in his new party called the South African Capitalist Party. I think he put a very good case forward about what he thinks you should be voting for in the next election. It's interesting how there are really no reasons, none, to vote for the ANC. Like, there's no...
Zero.
There's no reasons.
Well, sorry, there is. If you're a tenderpreneur and you're on the take.
Sure.
That's the one.
And there are only 20, 30, 40 people who are in that position.
Yeah,
so because I was talking to a really solid ANC supporter I've known for probably about 4 or 5 years now. And I said to him, listen, you're voting ANC this year? And he said, I'd like to. And I said to him, all right, well, that we can get into later. That's your psychological baggage. But are you going to? And he said, there's nothing. They put nothing on the table. They've got zero to offer. Like, they keep promising the same shit they've been promising for 20 years. And I just thought it was interesting because slowly even stalwarts are starting to say to me, look, I just, in good conscience, can't do this. If I'm going to participate in the election, why would I waste my vote and my time? Because it's a self-respect issue. Like, if you imagine voting for your executioner, and then when they come to cut off your head, you go, but I didn't ask for this.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, but you did, actually. Mm. So anyway, that's the only bit of politics we're going to throw in today. If you need more, go and listen to the Burning Platform from yesterday. You might find it interesting. Pumi and Canthan kind of getting into a Q&A about the South African Capitalist Party. I keep saying communist. It's a Freudian thing.
Was Pumi against it?
No, but I thought she asked some very good questions. You know, what I like about not everybody agreeing, and very often Pumi is the devil's advocate, and that's one of the reasons that she's really helpful, I feel, on the show. Even if you disagree with her, and some people think she's just terrible, and some people disagree with everything she says, if you don't hear the other side's opinion in an issue which is a bipartisan issue, let's say, or a binary issue rather than bipartisan, then first of all, how do you form an argument against it,
which
is kind of important, and how do you defend your own position? Because if someone has a good question or a good case to make against your position and you refuse to hear it because you think that they're wrong, that's not a good place to start in terms of figuring out your own way forward. Anyway, so The Bachelor, we got to talk about this just because, I mean, Leanne was watching it studiously last night. Ben is furious, and you know he's obsessed with the show because a lot of people are. I mean, it's a very entertaining show, even if it's not South Africa at its best. It is South Africa. And we laugh about it a lot, and it's a good show, and we've been watching it from the beginning. So last night, Ben, very angry because his whole list is completely
fucked. Entire batting list, all five, gone.
Gone. Thrown out. So Ben is the first to exit the
game. There you go, $100 on the table.
Sorry, Ben.
You've got the actual cash.
Yep, there we go.
Cash money from
100,
Ben.
Even Madiba looks sad while looking at my list. He's looking at there going...
Okay, so remind us who left last night that made your list.
All he had left was Edith.
All I had was Edith, right? All she had to do was maybe smile a bit and stay in the game and then hope for a bit of luck at the end. Nope.
I liked her. Oh, dear.
So she's gone.
Yeah.
Michelle DP's gone. So Sia lost someone yesterday, but she was never, there wasn't much hope around her.
Michelle DP, shame. I was kind of holding out for her as well. But how many Sia got left?
Sia's got two left. So Sia's still got Jacqueline, who just keeps having a bit of a cry.
Ooh, lots of meltdowns.
Yeah, but that's, she's staying in the game through emotion. That's the thing.
A bit of a cry.
And she, then, ooh, yeah. And then, lots of anxiety there.
And then Nontombi, who I think is great for the show.
She's my absolute best. She's hilarious.
But he's not into her, and she's being... I mean, come on.
No, they, I mean, at but, most they could... I don't even think it, they would be friends.
No, not the slightest, but she's good for the show. Leanne's still got Michelle R.
Yes.
Who comes across as boring as fuck, but I mean... Yeah. I
think, she's pretty.
Yeah, so she's still got some sway there. And then Gareth, your jizzes still topping...
Your jizzes are the best, yeah,
I'd like
actually.
To say, I'd like so, to thank all the jizzes for being on my list.
Jizz on, she didn't even get taken on any of the dates because she was, there's no doubt about her, clearly.
What? Then, what do you mean I'm not going on a date?
Yeah.
Is that what she said?
Well, she was upset, but that's okay. And then Gina, who... It could go far. She will go
I
far.
I think she'll
she's
win.
She's already gone far. Mm. And then Jenna, who's probably my favorite out of all of them.
Yes.
Because
she's the fitness coach.
Yeah, and she just always looks so happy. So she went on a one-on-one date.
Don't she and Lee have that in common? Because he also did, like, he ran his own fitness studio
gym for a while. So last
night,
Lee cooked her a meal.
Oh.
Yeah, from the penthouse of the Michelangelo.
They went on a one-on-one date.
All right, I got to point out something I don't like about this, because I saw that. They mustn't make it look like this is how the Bachelor lives. He doesn't live in the Michelangelo. That's someone else's house. It's like when they go and do cribs, but that's not where the rapper or the singer lives. It gives people a false sense of what's going on in the world. You can't be a fitness coach and model and live in the Michelangelo. It doesn't happen. I know really rich people, and they can't even afford an apartment in the Michelangelo. And if it's the penthouse, you better believe that's owned by the guy who gives Arabian showers to the girls who get on the yachts.
Yeah, no, you're right.
It's not Lee's apartment. And they create this thing. They're trying to make it look like Lee lives this glamorous life. For all you know, Lee's house, very modest. Maybe he's got a two-bedroom apartment somewhere. Maybe he's done well. I mean, let's say he's got a house.
Mm.
But it's not the penthouse of the Michelangelo. That thing costs upwards of 50 million rand.
It's a very good point, Gareth. But I tell you what,
lying to the girls.
It's also not believable. 24 girls swooning over one guy.
Yeah, well.
So I think fantasy was very much par for the course from the start.
Nonsense. They entered voluntarily. They like being there. They want to participate in this show. That is true. The Michelangelo belonging to him, not true.
Oh, but you can't have the oak taking chicks to a summer con in four ways and then taking it to Panarottis on Friday.
A summer con in four ways is how most of the oaks who are trying to be like Lee are living.
And his jocks are on the dining room table.
Drying out on the dining room
and
table.
And then his housemate comes home and says, yes, it's your hot day. We got a friend in your car.
Smacks her on the ass. Yeah.
So these are my key takeouts.
Let's go to Billy's after this. Yeah.
We had Callum Scott who pitched up. And he was playing the piano and read the date card.
Oh, the key takeouts.
Okay, yeah. Okay, these are Leanne's got a list. Let's just go through a list. Let's give it respect. Go.
One girl pipes up. I didn't know which one it was. And this is one of my favorite quotes. When Callum pitched up, we speechless. We taken back. Okay, like where's the verb?
Can we please? This is really a big problem. If you want to be taken seriously in the business community or among people who've read more than a book, it would be nice if you used we are, we were,
or
we're. Please don't just we doing.
We speechless.
You can't go we verb. You can't do that.
You can't
straight.
Go where you.
Where you. It's not a where are you.
You can't say we going.
No.
Because you've got to wonder, what are you doing with that time where you omit that one word? Are you saving so much time to do it?
You're on social media, no, and it's embarrassing.
You terrible.
Because those people don't know how to spell either, or how to read, or how to write, or how to... Just a grammatical correctness is not a question of someone being a grammar Nazi. It's about you showing off that you're not illiterate.
I think very differently about people who speak like this.
Of course.
So do I.
So what did she say again?
She said, we speechless, we taken back. Okay.
Who said that?
I don't know. I wrote on my notes here and I can't remember now. It said, one pipes up, we speechless, we taken back. The other note I have here is everyone had their tits out for some reason on right in the beginning.
Really, really?
Like when Callum Scott was there.
Fully tits out or just busty dress?
Yes, Gareth, fully tits out,
Not nice tits. They were like bad cleavages, man. I don't know what was going on. So many skimpy tops.
It was the one warm day in this whole shooting, and Leanne is chastising these women.
You're chastising them because you prefer the Taliban way of dressing.
They spend the entire show under a blanket or with brandy, and here they get to go and get some vitamin D.
I don't know. I just saw a lot of bad cleavage.
We speechless.
Then, yeah. So Jenna, the fitness coach, went on the one-on-one date with Lee, and Lee said, I'll be cooking a beautiful meal for her. Okay. Right. Then later they went skydiving, and he said, I could hear. That's here with a Y in the beginning.
I could hear?
I could hear the lady screaming and shouting.
Shouting?
I would also shout if I went skydiving. I honestly would. I don't blame him for saying that. But to hear them shouting, must have been a lot of shouting. Woo!
That's a loud arsehole, because I mean, the wind and the height, there's a lot of noise up there.
And while they were shouting, and Don Toms, who's my favorite, said, I'm just worried about their long lashes, because I almost lost mine when I was skydiving. So I like that.
This is great.
Lee also said she's got a great sense of humor.
Humor?
Yeah, Y-O-O-M-A. He said that. I don't know what it is yet, but
humor.
I like what he said.
Yes.
Yeah, and just the fact that he saw Edith at her most vulnerable and then he struck her from the roll, I thought was in some bad taste.
It was so dick. It was in terrible taste. Because she opened up to him.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, that's not going to work, eh?
No.
Sure.
Not going to work.
Yeah.
So beautiful.
Well, that's very interesting notes from Leanne there.
Thank you.
Ben, do you want to add anything from your observations besides your angriness about having
dropped out? Yeah, I was just pissed off, really. I mean, I thought I was a favorite going into this one, but Lee's tastes are clearly, who knows, really? There's six girls left now, and it's now got to the stage where there's no more real making up the numbers. He seems to have a connection with every single one of these women.
Sure.
And it will be a shock, Gareth, if any of them do not get a rose. And that's where we are currently. Hmm. So we're basically in the playoffs right now, to use a sporting analogy. This is crunch time in The Bachelor.
Okay. Well, there we go. Very, very exciting. Do you want to hear some news headlines? We didn't really refer to this yesterday.
Oh, right. Yeah, those are good.
Yeah, the five things you need to know this morning. Usually we get to more than one or two, but we'll see how we've got time today.
Well, Sia's not here today, so go ahead.
Okay, so... Edward Kiswetter, who we've actually had on the show before when he was still the boss of Alexander Forbes, is now the SARS boss. And for all intents and purposes, this guy seems to be pretty fearsome. He knows what he's doing. He was certainly impressive when he came in here. He does like wine. He collects fine wine, which means he's a capitalist. So bad news for all the socialists. This guy actually might understand the economy. And you know what? Bad news also for the capitalist, because he might know how to tax you properly. Ooh, get ready.
He knows how to tax wine.
That's right. Buttocks bared, bend over, get ready. Trousers down, here comes Edward Kiswetter to take some of your money. That's the arrangement. Remember what was the guy's name that I played the other day?
Jonathan Pye.
Yes. He said the arrangement, the contract is government come at you with a gun and they say, hand over half your money, and you go, oh, all right, just please don't shoot me. That's the arrangement we have with the tax man. And even Tito Mboweni yesterday said, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. And, of course, that comes from the Bible, where Jesus even said, you got to hand over your tax money.
Well, yeah, I mean, look, the arrangement is that just then please don't completely waste our tax money on side chicks and bottle service. I don't know if Caesar did it. I'm paraphrasing, of course, but... that's where the contract is broken with us.
Right. So apparently Kiswetter beat out 82 applicants. He managed to...
What a hell of a day.
Jeez, what a way to start.
Not beat off, beat out. 82 people. Can you imagine?
He looked like shit afterwards.
Quite a video there.
So listen, tired.
Imagine what kind of people applied or were asked to apply to be the SARS
boss. I don't know
boss.
Who would want that job.
But look, there's probably a lot of people's cousins and brothers and sisters.
So here's some of the names. Maybe you know who some of these people are. Angela Bester, Justice Dennis Davis, Cindy Mabaso-Kuyana, Ismail Momoniat, Tandi Orlane, Fezeki Lechikli, Mark Kingon, Nathaniel Mabetwa. I mean, I don't know who these people. I know Nathaniel. Is that
Nathaniel?
Is that a surname?
He does the checkers.
Yes. I want to fucking be the sauce chief. Because if anyone knows how to turn a round into five, it's me. And I can also cook a fucking great meal, so get ready.
I'd love him to be sauce chief, but unfortunately he got beaten by Edward Kiesewetter to the post.
He made, let me tell you, the best spatula you'll ever use. Go to Shigaz and buy Nathaniel's green spatula.
Nathaniel sent me a message about 4 days ago to say he meant to invite me and a bunch of other people to dinner. He wants to cook for us, and I'm going to go.
Yeah,
what an
do
honor.
It.
That guy knows what he's doing in the kitchen, and he's hilarious.
Yeah.
Jesus, he's funny. So I met him at the French embassy a while ago because, you know, he lives in France half the year. He's got a really interesting life, that guy. He's got a vanilla farm in Madagascar or in Mauritius or somewhere. He's fascinating.
Yeah, when he was here, that was an amazing interview.
So anyway, all right. Edward Kiesewetter is the new SARS boss. Da-na-na-na. And while we're talking about the economy, there has been an ongoing decline in the number of salary payments going through the South African banking system, which could point to retrenchments. Mike Schussler, the economist, told Fin24 on Thursday. He was commenting on data from the latest BankServe Africa Take Home Pay Index. Now, you know he's a real economist when he goes and reads the BankServe Africa Take Home Pay Index.
Yeah, that's showing your stripes right there.
I didn't even know that existed. Did you, Ben?
Yeah.
I mean, that's some serious
stuff. I actually used to work on the BankServe accounts in my advertising days.
Really?
Fascinating, fascinating thing there.
You're not joking? You knew about
it? No, I'm being dead serious. Okay. Like, what? Because obviously they process all the banking stuff.
So February was the eighth consecutive month of declining employees in the system. So what this means is there are less jobs. Now, I don't have to say the obvious here, but if you've got a job, even if it's not your favorite job in the world right now, go to work today with a different attitude because you have a job.
Yeah.
Now, far be it for me to tell you to enjoy something that you're not enjoying. And maybe your salary isn't as good as you think it should be. I mean, I've never met anyone who said, you know, yeah, I feel I'm really earning what I'm worth. Never have I met anyone who's ever said that.
Right. They pay me a lot because I do nothing really.
Yeah. They pay me so much more than I deserve. No one's ever said that in the history of employment.
I think Denzel Washington said it once.
He did?
Yeah.
There we go. I stand corrected. There has been one person.
One guy.
But just the one. The fact that he sticks out should tell you everything. So if you hate your job and you think you're earning too little, well, welcome to the club. Everyone in South Africa probably thinks that, or at least they're not always thrilled with their work. And if you're fortunate enough to still be a salaried employee, you are in an increasing minority. Okay? Scary thought there. So that's some words from Mike Schussler at Fin24. And also on the economy, you know, this is the big week for Moody's, the sole global ratings agency that still has South Africa's sovereign debt at investment grade. The others have dropped us. So we're hanging on like in those movies where you've got a hand with five fingers and four of the fingers have already slipped off. You've got one finger still holding onto the edge of the cliff before you fall off of it. That's what Moody's is that. Last finger that's gripping the edge of the cliff. And if they say, sorry guys, you're out. Oof. Four out of the five economists Fin24 spoke to ahead of the announcement still expect Moody's to only lower the country's credit rating outlook from stable to negative. The reemergence of load shedding may have changed things, though. So, that bloody load shedding. This Eskom is the worst thing that's ever happened to us. But I think I love it. It's a great example to me of just how badly government run everything. And when anyone tells me government should, I go, whoa, Eskom. So it's a great excuse for anybody who still thinks the state is capable of doing a better job than the private sector. I just go, whoa, Eskom, and you should do the same. Anyone brings it up, just go, just point it. Excuse me, right over here, big elephant in the room. Eskom. That's all we got time for now. Let's get to Ben, see what's going on in the world of sport. In case you're interested, Bitcoin, $4,061. creeping up slowly, and Ethereum at $139. Ben, what have you for us?
Lots of soccer, Gareth. There's the Premier League back in action after that pointless international break that no one really cares about. Mm-hmm. There's a Formula One somewhere. And WGC Dell Technologies Match Play is shaping up wonderfully. All right, so we're back in action with the English Premier League, the most exciting thing in all of football, outside of corruption and match fixing. We have Man City just 15 games away from winning the impossible, the improbable, the unprecedented quadruple. So that means they've already won the League Cup. Okay, so that's the easy one. It's under the belt. They got it. They've still got the Premier League itself. They've still got the Champions League, which is obviously the big one. And they got the FA Cup. So this weekend, they'll kick off their Premier League resurgence? Well, they're 2 points behind Liverpool with one game in hand. So it's not like they've really fallen off the wagon on that one. But they'll take on Fulham starting Saturday, 2:30. Then they've also got to look out for Brighton in the FA Cup semis. They'll absolutely piss that. And then Tottenham in the Champions League quarterfinals. This is how it looks. Very exciting. Very exciting times. Of course, no one's done this. Man United have come close. Chelsea, when Mourinho was really all over that, they've come close, but no one's ever done the quadruple. So how exciting to be a part of this. And I say, it's not for Man City fans, but there aren't really any. They, you know, obviously jumped on when all that Abu Dhabi money came.
Yeah.
Look, there might be two or three people who are always anti-Man United, so then basically supported Man City. And for them,
weren't they always in the Liverpool? So there always used to be this big rivalry right in the beginning, before Man City was a thing. And it was Liverpool Man U.
That was the big one.
Glory days.
I mean, look, there was obviously the Manchester Derby was just about, that's what they were called, the noisy neighbors, Man City, because they were just a bunch of like druggies. And the Gallagher brothers, all you need to know right there. That was it. Oasis versus like the Rolling Stones. I mean, it's different kinds of class. So that'll be Saturday. Let's get back into those fixtures. Man United, the one I just spoke about, they'll be taking on Watford at 5. This will be the first match where Ole Gunnar Solskjaer will be the permanent manager, not the caretaker manager. He came in mid-December when Jose had a bit of a shit fit because he got told to leave. And Solskjaer's been great. He really has been. He's turned the team around. He seems to have got the players bottom lips from off the ground and onto the training field. And he deserves it. No doubt he deserves it. He's doing great things with this team. But now there's huge other pressure now, because in the beginning, when you're caretaker manager, mm-hmm. it's like if you suddenly consoling a girl who's just broken up with a girlfriend, the boyfriend, and that guy's the big bad guy, and you're just the nice guy that shoulder the crown. But then you start dating that girl, expectations change hugely. You got to do a lot more. So that's where Man United are right now with Solskjaer. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Lovely name.
Great name, yeah.
Sounds like a herring dish, but lovely, lovely name. On to the rest of them, Brighton and Hove and Albion, that team, they'll take on Southampton.
Funny, those are the names of Leanne's cats, Brighton, Hove and Albion.
Yeah. Albion, yes.
Yeah. The last one's a white cat. Now, Southampton, their manager, Rolf Hasenhüttl, he says...
Another great name.
There'll be no Wi-Fi in the hotels that they're staying in. Why, Gareth?
I don't know.
Because of their incessant need for gaming.
Oh.
These players, all children clearly, they just can't get enough of the gaming all day. Back in the glory days of like glamorous football, it used to be prostitutes and cocaine. Now it's gaming. God, oh, we've fallen off the barrel.
No.
We really have. I mean,
what happened to strippers and blow? Honestly.
Social decay at its absolute finest. So all these guys, they're holed up in their room playing Call of Duty or some other shit. And the manager's like, no, this is like any other drug. It's like alcohol. It's like whatever. We can't have this. People are becoming obsessed. And they're completely, completely addicted to it. So there'll be no Wi-Fi. You'll focus on the game and that kind of stuff. I agree with him. So okay. good on you, Ralf, for taking a stand with us. Leicester will take on Bournemouth. Everton will be away to West Ham. And then Sunday the games get slightly more interesting because Cardiff will be hosting Chelsea. Chelsea, of course, is still holding on with all kinds of determination to the top four place, which might not happen. Then Liverpool versus Spurs. There's your big one for the weekend. Sunday at 5:30. Huge match, that one. There'll be Nedbank Cup action in South Africa. We're in the quarterfinals of that amazing tournament. Cape Amoyo United have already gone down to TS Galaxy. That game took place on Wednesday. But tomorrow we see Bloem Celtic versus Golden Arrows at 3. And then we get Wits versus Chipper. 8:15.
Yes.
And then Chiefs versus Cape Town City. And that'll be on Sunday at 3:00. Yeah. Very exciting.
Right.
On to the golf. Unfortunately, Justin Harding could not do the impossible against Rory McIlroy yesterday. He played bloody well, but essentially went down 3-2. McIlroy was just too strong. He just hits the ball a mile. He had a drive of 421 yards yesterday and then pitched a ball into a par 5 made eagle. Sure, there was a cart path and a hill involved, but the guy is just incredibly, incredibly dominant in this form of the game. But other South African interest, Brandon Grace beat world number one Dustin Johnson 1-up. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
Huge result. And Louis Oosthuizen came back from his first round loss to beat Ben Ang from Korea 1-up. So there's...
Which Korea? Best Korea? North Korea?
No, Gareth, the best career to South Korea.
Oh,
only one where you're allowed to actually go and play golf, not tend to fields.
Okay.
Tiger Woods isn't doing so great. They're about still got a slight chance of getting through the next round. Bubba Watson, absolute horseshit. He's the defending champion, and he's lost both his matches so far. Jim Furyk's a bit of a surprise. He's now 2-2, and he'll take on Henrik Stenson today for the ultimate glory of going into the next round. Interesting for Jim Furyk, he is old. He's like 48. But his caddy's about 173. And we all know that going to the weekend at the WGC is tough as all hell because you've got to play 36 holes a day if you get all the way to the final. You could be playing as much as 108 holes in 1 week. And if his caddy gets out of bed today, I'll be surprised. Let alone if he can make 72 holes on the weekend.
It must feel so weird making a man so much older than you carry your
exactly.
Shit.
It's a very good point. It's disrespectful. This guy, I mean, he was originally Tiger's caddy. Mm-hmm. So when he started out,
he's already very old,
and he was old when he was Tiger's caddy in the 90s. He's now Jim Furyk's caddy in 2019. But good, good on this couple. Cumulatively of 207 years, they basically dwarf anyone in experience. So they may be the surprise package this week. Anyway, all like to enjoy over the weekend. Super Rugby, of course, there it is. It's always there. It's kind of like box wine at a party. You can always tap into it if you want. Hurricanes versus the Crusaders. That's your one today.
Or a punch bowl that starts getting more and more brown as the night goes on.
Punch bowl. Off to nine, there's like a cigarette butt in there and like a condom wrapper.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's there. It's on tap. It's always there. It's always there. Hurricanes versus Crusaders, 8:35 this morning. Big game, that one. Huge game. Crusaders obviously lost the Waratahs last week as they were still dealing with the terror attack. And obviously still dealing with that, the fact that they may be changing the name of their team from the Crusaders. Now, at the next home game, they won't have men in chainmail and swords coming out on horses. They've taken that stand. That's very threatening. So they won't be having that anymore. Waratahs versus the Sunwolves at 10:45 this morning. So you get two matches if you have not gone to work, which is very nice. And then tomorrow, the Blues will be taking on the Stormers. Stormers on the road, of course. Can't see them winning that one, though. Reds versus the Rebels, 10:45 after that. Then Sharks versus Bulls. It's Wakanda versus Captain Pretoria. Sharkanda, call it what you want. 3:05. Big match, that one. Can the Sharks stand up to the Bulls up front? That's going to be the big question. Tendai the Beast and Taurira. He'll now become the most capped Super Rugby player of all time. He's played so many games. He's played as many games as Fluff Cowan has had years on this planet.
Fluff Cowan.
That's how many. That's how big it is.
Right.
And then the Hagwa, they'll take on the Chiefs in Buenos Aires.
It's not a proper word.
It's a suggestion of sounds, really, is the team from Argentina. And there they are, taking on the Chiefs. Now, the Chiefs have obviously been very terrible in New Zealand. They then came to South Africa, absolutely trousered the Bulls, and now they're going to Argentina. So, tough stretch for them. It really is. Other golf. Really important. Totally forgot this before we get to the F1 update. Nobukle Dlamini. She is a absolute power in golf right now. She has won the Ladies Joburg Open at the Soweto Country Club yesterday.
Wow.
And she also won basically everything. The Sunshine Tour, Ladies Tour Victory, Order of Merit, the whole deal. Basically all the marbles. She's done that. And she's done bloody well the last couple of years. She really is. So she's from Swaziland. And she really is going to go now apply her trade all over the world. It's so good that when young golfing talent does get the opportunity here locally, there are still quite a few tournaments that can give you that springboard. Now, Nobukle will then go out and test herself against the best in the world. We haven't really had a majorly dominant SA golfer or Southern African golfer before. Leanne Pace has done very, very well in the past. There was Sally Little. I think she was very good. She jolled hard in the day.
But quite little.
Yeah, but she was a big deal. So
She was crushed by Sally Tall, who sat on her one sort of picnic.
And Sally Frumpy just hated her completely.
And Betty Fat.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's not a real one.
Those are the days of the LPGA when Leanne was interested. Yeah, so 27-year-old, big things here. So remember the name, Nabuchli Dlamini. Okay. Really, really exciting talent.
So she's from Swaziland.
Yes.
So she's not considered South African.
No, but obviously we'll just claim her because that's what
we do. Yeah, I was going to say, what's happening there?
People from Lesotho, Swaziland, we just claim them.
Come in, well, look, you're in our borders.
I know, we claim Zimbabweans all the time as well.
Well, yeah. Gareth, I think that's pretty much it for the sport.
You know what, Ben, don't feel pressured to add more. That's enough.
Well, I think the F1's in Bahrain.
Oh, you don't care about F1. Don't pay lip service to this.
Absolutely love it.
Ben was scolded the other
Bottas,
day.
Bottas, he won last time. He'll win this time as well.
Ben was told off by a Formula One fan because they said, look, I know you hate Formula One. You don't even make an effort. Ben said, sometimes. And they went, no, don't worry. You don't have to defend yourself.
Well, I will tell you one more thing from Formula One. Lewis Hamilton is still outraged that there's racism in sport, and I totally agree with him. Now, this is on the back of him tweeting about England's footballers getting a bit of a rough time in Montenegro.
Well, the place is called Monty Blackperson. I mean, what a thing to do. What do you expect but racism in a place called Montenegro? They're talking
Montenegro.
That mountain is a black person. What a thing to say. Outrageous. But you know what, Lewis? Lewis, there are a lot of people who really, really hate me as an individual. And I don't know why, and I haven't met some of these people, so there's no reason for them to hate me. I mean, it's probably just prejudice. And maybe they hate me because I'm white, or I don't know, whatever it is. But I don't let it keep me up at night. And Lewis, you've done really well in life. You shouldn't care either. Bunch of people who want to be racist and backward, we all know they're assholes. Let's just move on. I don't know why we have to spend so much time focused on the small group of people who live on planet Earth and still perpetuate this racist nonsense. We don't need to talk about them. We don't need to give them attention. It's almost giving oxygen to the fire. Let it die out the way it obviously will. I mean, you don't find a lot of people who are blatantly homophobic anymore, do you? Maybe Loyiso Obala every now and then. Apparently he said something about his younger brother the other day. But otherwise, it's very rare.
Well, that's just sibling banter.
You don't find people being openly hostile to women and men being treated equally very much anymore, do you? Except in countries like backward places like Saudi Arabia or whatever. But really, is it necessary for us to focus on these few remaining islands of prejudice that exist in the world? It's just going to tear you down and make you depressed and make you think the problem's worse than it is. It isn't. It is better for anyone who's experienced prejudice in any previous generation now than it ever has been. Don't pretend that during the time of Martin Luther King Jr., it was better. It was way worse. And don't pretend during the time of slavery, it was better. It was way worse. We're making progress. We're moving in the right direction. If you were looking at a company report and you were judging it on profits, we're in profit. Stop thinking the company's failing when we're in profit. That's all I'd like to say to you, Lewis.
Right,
let's go to some messages, if you don't mind, Ben.
Well, I'm done in the sport.
So here's one from Michelle. She says, I judge bad vocabulary. It drives me mad. That was to do with a discussion we were having about the girls on The Bachelor and you just using terrible, terrible grammar and leaving words out and making sentences that don't make sense.
You're right.
You rot.
You rot.
You rot. Exactly. Not you are right. You rot. Ugh. Anyway, Sean says, do you guys remember the show in the 2000s, similar to The Bachelor, but at the end it turned out the guy was actually poor? The winning girl then had to make the decision whether she wanted to stay with him. I don't remember that. That's
brilliant.
That's fantastic. I don't know what that was called.
Well, if we had Wi-Fi, I'd tell you.
You still don't have Wi-Fi, Ben. Sorry about that. Des Jones saying, I wasn't into podcasting until a couple of months ago, and now I'm hooked. Yeah, there you go. A lot of people joining the party late, but better late than never. So, loads of other things coming through. If you want to get hold of us, 079-748-2090. We are going to can the 0861-555-189 number. Getting rid of it because, there are easier ways to get hold of us. You can Skype us. You can message us. You can send us a voice note. You know, these are things that are I don't see why we're hanging on to a landline phone.
I agree.
In 2019. It's really dumb. So we're going to phase that out.
I agree. Can we actually, let's talk about this after the show formally, but could we have like a studio voice line which yeah. really actually used
no,
now?
It's there. We just have to connect it. We just have to get it going.
I was thinking maybe we have like a separate like number on a, yeah. on an actual phone so yeah. we can literally do this because I know we have issues with that system.
Sure. We'll do that. We have a phone, we have a number, we have a means of doing this. So let's do it.
And then people can have like anonymous tips like they saw The Bachelor. You were sniffing cocaine or some other chick over the weekend.
There we go. We can have, if you could send us all kinds of good stories. Tell us interesting things about yourself. You know, this is the stuff that people want to do. And we'll keep it anonymous if you want to keep it anonymous. Dan in Springfield.
Is that who Anonymous is?
That's who it is every time. All right, let's get on with it. We've got news, we've got things to talk about, people to get to, and we've got to celebrate the fact that it's Friday again. CliffCentral.com.